You know when she brings up that blue guitar. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Let's read the first 16 verses. I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on. If you have a standard King James, read with us. Let's try to stay together. If you come with anything else, be silent. We're reading the King James Version together. We're going to read 16 verses. I'll read the first, and you read the second. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word we have in our hands and for the message that it brings. We pray for everyone in this room that we would be drawn closer to your will, that your spirit would lead us, that Lord, you'd forgive us where we failed you and you'd draw us into a work for you. We pray, dear God, fill us with your spirit, fill us with a joy and peace in believing. If there are any lost souls listening to the sound of my voice, may you touch their hearts that they might be saved. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just have this, think of this as a very, very interesting passage of scripture. And part of the problem is the unusualness of it, the story. Here we have a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He's a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, this is a Gentile. This is not a Jew. This is a Gentile. He's a Roman. He's a very high Roman. He's a rich Roman. He's a man that has got a whole lot of power about him. And it said some interesting things about him. Now, it said he's a devout man. Devout man. That means he's sort of holy. That means he sort of practices religious things. It's a serious thing with him. He's a devout man. And he said, one that feared God with all his house. Now, we're living in a generation where the kids don't obey the parents. It's getting worse and worse and worse. In fact, it's almost the law you're not supposed to obey the parents. You know, it seemed like the Supreme Court, anything the Bible is for, the Supreme Court's starting to be against. And we come up here, here's a devout man that feared God with all his house. I mean, what he said went. They obeyed him. And so that's a pretty good man we got right there. And he said, which gave much alms to the people. That's pretty good. This guy's a rich man, but he's not above giving. He doesn't hold it all for himself. He gave much alms to the people. And then it said an interesting thing, prayed to God always. He's not praying to some heathen God. He's praying to the God of the Bible. He's praying to the Jewish God. He's praying to God always. Now, what an interesting thing here that he would say he's a centurion. That's rich and powerful. He's Italian. That's a Gentile. He's a devout man. And are you devout? Would you describe yourself as devout? Well, he describes himself. I mean, he's been described by the Holy Spirit as a devout man. One that feared God with all his house. Bless your heart. That's a tremendous blessing. Do you realize what that is? A man that feared God with all his house feared God with him. This is a leadership of a leader, man that was a real leader, gave much alms unto the people, and then he prayed to God alway. Wow. You know any neighbors like that? You know any church members like that? Hey, it's a pretty example, pretty good example. It's an amazing thing to find a man like that. Do you know what it says? He was lost. He did all these things. He's all this good, but he's lost. Now, notice what we have here. He saw in a vision, look at verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, I guess that would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, he saw an angel of God coming into him. Now, I've been preaching 61 years. I've been saved 61 years. I've never seen an angel. You ever seen an angel? I haven't had any visions. I haven't had any visions. This man got a vision. He got an angel from God to come into his house to visit him. Look what it says. It says, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. How many times have you thought that God would do better to have the gospel preached by angels? Ever come across your mind? Has mine. There's one or two places in the Bible we find anything like that. Back over in the tribulation period where we're finishing up on the book of Revelation. There's an angel, when the earth is destroyed and whatever, there's an angel goes flying around the world preaching the everlasting gospel to the inhabitants of the world. But that's about the only time. Can you imagine he's got an angel in his house and the angel doesn't tell him how to be saved? He's got an angel in his house and what's the message of the angel? Go find Simon Peter. Wow. You didn't think too much of Peter, did you? Well, it looks like he just might have to introduce the Jews to the gospel and the Gentiles to the gospel too. Maybe that's where he had the keys to the kingdom. Right here. It says, send men to Joppa, call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Now he lodges with, what about this, another Simon. Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. That's an interesting passage. You got an angel in your house. He doesn't tell you how to be saved. He doesn't tell you what you got to do. What he tells you is, go get a man. Isn't that interesting? I think it's really interesting. I think you ought to really think about this for a minute. God's got the opportunity with an angel who definitely knows the message. Knows exactly what he's doing. And he tells Cornelius, you go to another town, get a hold of a fellow named Simon Peter, and he will come back here and tell you what to do. Isn't that amazing? I think it's absolutely amazing. He had an angel, but he got a message from a man. Wow. Devout man, Apostle Peter, a messenger angel, a trance. Now, how about Peter's trance? Peter doesn't go up to take a nap. He's at Simon the Tanner's house, but he went up on the roof to pray. He went up there to pray. Now, he's praying. I don't know if you've ever had a vision or anything like that. But I've had a few people tell me they have. I've got a few little things. I once saw a picture of Jesus, but he wasn't blonde-haired and blue-eyed. He was black-haired and black-eyed. But I don't put any stock in it. But here's what they said. He went up on the roof to pray. Now, Peter's trying to be in the will of God. I have no doubt about it. I think Peter was sincere. You're looking at a very strong Jew. When you look at Peter, you're looking at a disciple of John the Baptist. You're looking at somebody who, as he says here, never eaten anything unclean. What did he do? Peter's up there, he's praying. And all of a sudden there's a trance. And I think that's sort of like a dream when you're awake. I'm not exactly sure, all right? But sort of a trance. And this big sheet is let down from the sky. And the messenger tells him, Peter, slay and eat. Slay and eat. And Peter's answer shows you how religious a man he was all his life. I have never eaten anything unclean. Isn't that something? I've eaten a lot of unclean things. Have you? I bet you have. Now, I got some of these guys that go around on television and they go to all these foreign countries and they take spiders and they take scorpions and they take all sorts of stuff. It's just not my appetite, fellas. I think I just about starve if I had to eat that. Now, I might not. If I got hungry enough, I might chew on those locusts. But it's a little bit hard for me to do something like that. Peter tells him, I have never done that in my life. And then he became a disciple of John the Baptist, the most fundamental of the prophets around his time. He followed him, became a follower of him. And then when John the Baptist pointed out Jesus, he followed Jesus. And he followed Jesus all the way to the end. According to some tales, crucified upside down because he didn't want to go out the same way the Lord went out. Now, a devout man, and Peter, a devout Jew. Now, the next day, when Peter is getting this trance, and after he's gotten the trance, there's some men right down at the bottom floor, knocking on the door, wanting Peter. And these are Gentiles. These aren't Jews. They're not even half Jews. They're not even Samaritans. These are Gentiles. And they're coming up to his gate and they're wanting Peter to go with them. And Peter realizes what that sheet represented. Personally, I think it represents you can eat anything you want to eat. God has cleansed it. Don't you call it common. And so if I didn't have such a finicky stomach and appetite and attitude, well, I could eat all sorts of kinds of stuff like that. But I really don't. I'm not going to anyway. I'll just lose weight. Think about it for a minute, though. Peter goes down, and here are these Gentiles, a couple of soldiers, and they're Roman soldiers, and they want him to go with them to a Roman centurion. And all of a sudden, he says, okay, Lord, I understand. I don't call any man common or unclean. You know what? That's the church's attitude should be. I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your sex is. You should be welcomed in the blood of Christ, in the salvation of Christ, in God's church. Amen? Amen. I think it's what you ought to be. At any rate, he goes with them. And he goes back up there to listen to them. And so he says, let's see where we get to here. Peter said, not so, Lord. Kill and eat. Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Okay, what we have then, if you look at chapter, verse 31, chapter 10, verse 31, he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. Now you're well done that you've come. Chapter 11, verse 14, it's talking about Peter. But look at verse 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? What did he say? Tell thee words. You know what? You need to learn some words. Tell thee words. That's what Peter's going to do. And we've got the words that he told him. And so he said, go get this man, Simon Peter. He'll tell you words whereby you and all your household will be saved. Now think for a minute. The first point really that I've thought about this is what I've brought so far. He had an angel in his house and God made him send a couple of towns over to get a man. Does it mean that God means for men to preach the gospel? You know, I think so. I don't think he means for angels to preach it. I don't even know if there's any salvation for angels. The fallen angels are fallen and they're going to be damned. And the ones that haven't fallen, they're still going to be right up there with him. And you and I that are the redeemed, who's redeemed? Men. Brian was talking about it this morning. Christ became the second Adam. He became a man. He became a man like you so he could die in your place and save you. Maybe, just maybe, it's God's intention not to send angels to preach, to send you to preach. Amen? Well, I tell you what, Cornelius needed to be saved. He was a devout man, and he was prayed all the time, feared God, gave much alms. He had an angel, but he got a message from the man. He didn't get the message from the angel. The message was pointing him to the man and the Simon Peter. Now let me ask you something. Are you witnessing? Are you witnessing? You need to tell your story. There's somebody can be reached by your story. And so that's exactly what we've got here. How many of you came to this church because you were invited? Let me see your hand. Somebody invited you. Okay. All right. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. I was already a church member. I joined the church when I was 11 in a little Methodist church, and I was sprinkled and welcomed into the church. When I married my wife, I thought she was a better Christian than me, and she was in a Baptist church. I figured not much difference between Baptist and Methodist, but a little bit of water. So I went down and confessed Christ again. And at 18, they baptized me, and my wife and I were in the same church. But you know, I didn't like going to church that much. Some of you didn't like going to church, did you? I didn't like going to church that much. So once or twice a month was plenty. I certainly wasn't a fanatic like I am now, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all 10 days of a revival meeting and the prayer meetings and whatever, and I go every time the doors are open. Isn't that amazing? A friend. Some of you that we've had in some of the open meetings, I've enjoyed listening to. I always enjoy the open meetings. But I enjoyed listening to different ones tell us you're not a people person. You're just not a people person. And you give yourself a nice excuse because you're not a people person. Oh yeah, Brother Lindley, you're a people person, so you can go with this. But I don't have to go because I'm not a people person. Have you ever thought about what God's trying to teach in this little passage right here? What he's trying to teach in this little passage right here? I know I've given my testimony so many times, but I don't mind giving it again. And I don't mind pointing out something to you. I was a little airman second, and I had a trailer house right outside the base in Roswell, New Mexico. And the guy had become a friend of mine, a very bashful man. He was a tech sergeant, military man, going to retirement. We got to working on things together because he was a real good woodworker. Now, I built some model airplanes. I don't know how many of you ever built model airplanes, but I built model airplanes that flew when I was a kid. Had a little bitty motor on them. You'd flip them out there, and that thing would reach around and bite your finger if you didn't get it out real quick, you know. Little gas motors. Well, this friend of mine that lived right next door to me, he was a really good woodworker. He built these airplanes that their wings were, say, that wide, and they were 5 or 6 feet long. And all of them built out of balsa wood and tissue paper and painted over and whatever, like, and he liked to fly them. He wasn't much of a people person. I had an old gun. I didn't have a real nice deer rifle. I had an English Enfield 303 that was beat up. I think it's a World War I gun. I'm not sure. I think so. Well, he said, you know, the barrel, nothing was wrong with the barrel on the gun. It wasn't rusted. It wasn't scarred. It wasn't anything. But the wood on it was absolutely terrible. It looked like a piece of junk. And old Bob said, Lindell, let's redo your gun. And he with me, helping me, telling me what to do, we put on about 4 or 5 coats of varnish. You could look down into that wood. It was beautiful. That old gun turned out absolutely beautiful. But this guy that wasn't a people person. But you know what? Some of his friends started going to this Baptist church, Southern Baptist Church in Roswell, New Mexico. Calvary Baptist Church, 1009 West Alameda Street, Roswell, New Mexico. He got saved. And you know what he did? He came over and said, Lindell, I'd like for you to be saved. He came to my house. He didn't know what to talk. If I wanted to argue the Bible, he couldn't argue with me. I could eat his lunch even then. But you know what he did? He brought a preacher. He couldn't talk that well, but he got one that would. He got a guy, a college degree. He's country as all get out, but man, he had his college degree, and he was a decent preacher, a good guy. Praise the Lord for him. And he just made the appointment to get this guy to come to my house. And, of course, I'm a cocky young rascal, and I knew a little bit about religion, and I thought I could argue, you know, about where did Cain get his wife and all sorts of other things, you know, like that. And that old man, well, he wasn't so old. He was probably 15, 20 years older than me at the time. He would simply take his Bible. He said, well, I don't know everything, son, but the Bible says this. He just kept shoving that in my face. I don't know, son, but how about this? Look what this Bible says right here. He pointed verse after verse to me. He stayed in my house from 7 till 11 that night. My friend wasn't there. My friend got it started. My friend had a concern for my soul. My friend knew this guy that could come into my house and answer my questions. You can do that. You can do that. We got some preachers around here. They'd be glad to go visiting with you to wherever you want to go. I've been carried in 61 years. I've been carried to a bunch of places. I had a one friend, and he tried to get his pastor. He lived in another town, tried to get his pastor to go with him to his father and witness, and the man wouldn't go. Then that wasn't his ministry. So his daddy said, why don't you get Lindell? And he said, hey, would you go with me to Kerrville? I said, sure, I'll go with you to Kerrville. We went up there and led his dad to the Lord. All you got to have is somebody a little willing to go. All you got to have is a few answers. That out of all those answers, that great. They just are what they need. Sometimes they have somebody present the gospel to them, and you need a man to do it, an angel's not going to do it. You know something? Salvation comes because of what that one verse says that Peter is describing why he went unto these Gentiles. And he said, no, I've got the wrong one there. Here, I'll get it. Get it right. Verse 31, chapter 11:31. Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. No, that's not it. Messed up. Here it is. You go get Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. You think of all that devout. Think of all that praying. Think of the discipline. Think about the leading his whole family in worship. This is a really fine man, a devout man, the kind of man you'd want for a neighbor. He said, he needs to tell you words. What Peter going to do? Just tell you words. You know what this Bible is? It's an eyewitness testimony. We can go back here and listen to what the king said to Jeremiah. We can listen to what God told Jeremiah and how he repeated things to the king. When they tear up the word that he gives them, he just writes them another one and gives them out. What we're listening to are words, 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 just simple things like words, and they're so important. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the word of God is just as much the word of God when it comes out of your mouth as it is when it's written on the page. If you quote it, if you tell it, if you spread that story, somebody's going to believe your faith. Did you know faith produces faith? One of the reasons why I'm sure that I believed in a God was because my mother and daddy and sister believed in God. I didn't read the Bible that much. We went to Sunday school pretty good and church pretty good, but wow. The faith that my parents had and the faith, the way they thought and the way they expressed themselves, I learned. And your kids did too. That's maybe why you learned. You learned because of words. Isn't that so simple? It just sort of fried my mind. You learn because of words. He's going to tell you words whereby you and all your house can be saved. How important are those words? How important is that friendly witness? Look. I can go out here and knock up. I've knocked on doors most of my life. I don't do much anymore. But I did in my life. I knocked on a lot of doors. I talked to a lot of people. They don't want to let me in. I'm a professional. They don't want to let me in. I'm a preacher. They don't want to let me in because they don't have to put up with me. But they'll put up with you. And why will they put up with you? Because you're their friend. You're their friend. You know how that guy got into my house? You know how that guy got into my... He was my friend. I wasn't going to turn him down. Bob Morgan, you talk about he and his wife couldn't have children. And we have a little old Eddie in there. Billy coming, he was... I said Eddie was on the runway and Billy was in the hangar. He was coming on down. Oh, Catherine Morgan wanted to hold my baby. We had a ready babysitter. Didn't have a problem. She wanted to hold that baby. She finally got her a baby. One of her nieces got pregnant and out of wedlock, and she offered to take the baby, and they adopted him and had their son the rest of their life. Wonderful. You know why he could walk into my house? He'd help me spruce up my gun. We'd worked on model planes together. We'd mow the lawn together. We'd talk together. We lived right next door to each other. Both of us were in the service. He was a career man, and I certainly wasn't. That's how you get in. You got some doors you can get in that nobody else can. There's some people in this town, or in your family. Maybe you got to go out of town. Somebody needs to have somebody come up to him and say, are you saved? Will you trust Christ? Will you believe the Bible? I've got some words I would like to say to you. How many times can you give your own testimony? I got into a really on-fire church. One of the best I ever saw in all of my life. And when my daddy saw it, he said, he thought I was in a cult. He went out there to see what was happening. And when he got through seeing what I was in, he said, you don't know what you've got. But you got one of the most unusual situations. Use it for all you're worth. You know something? I gave my testimony to hundreds. Our associate pastor was Mr. Smooth. And of course, in those days, every time I went to church, I had my one button roll suit and tie. You had to dress up to go to church. In fact, you had to dress up to go visit. But he would take me out and we'd knock on a door. I don't even know the people. I've just been saved a month. And we'd get inside and he'd say, Mr. So-and-so, this is Lyndall Kincaid and he's an airman out here. And he just got saved. Lyndall, tell him your story. Tell him your words, Lyndall. And I'd tell him my words, and they'd start crying. They'd be weeping. I'd be weeping. They'd be calling on the Lord. We led people to the Lord right and left for just, it was a revival. It just kept going. But you know, all I was doing was telling words. What was I doing? I was telling what happened to me. I was telling them how I needed to be saved and how a guy 21 years old took my truck, my run, and died. And I recognize I'm not 10 foot tall. I'm not bulletproof. I don't have to live to be 60 years old. I can die at 21. And I got scared of hell. And I got saved. I called on God and asked him to save my soul and change my life. And he did it and he made a change. My friend said, hey, it won't last 2 weeks. You'll get over it a couple of weeks. It's just sort of like a cold, you know. You wear it out. It's 61 years come September 1st. It hadn't grown any less. I love it better now than I loved it then. You need to tell somebody your words. Peter went and told him the words of Christ and the words of salvation, the words of God, and it was a man that had to go into that house to give them the word of God. Don't ever belittle your testimony. Use your testimony. Tell people how you got saved. Did you get saved? Do you remember how you got saved? Then God wants you to do it. You know, there is a verse of scripture. It says, go into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Who do you think that message is for? Angels? Not from what I read right here. That's not a message to angels. That's a message to people. People like you. Some of your kids in school and you are a little maybe ashamed to give your testimony or maybe invite people to come to church with you or something like that. Maybe they just need an invitation. One of my old friends, high school buddy, one of my guys I ran around with. Later on, after I'd come back, he was old and getting weak and sick. And I said, Duffy, do you know that you're saved? He said, yes, I am, Lyndall. I said, when were you saved? Don't you remember? When I went down with you. And we got saved. Duffy went out into eternity. He died a couple of years ago in December. And he went out in eternity having a faith that he trusted Christ. He wasn't trusting himself, that he trusted Christ. I sure hope that's true. You know something? Somebody needs your testimony. Amen. God has commanded you to go into all the world. Now, we've done some of that. We've got our missionaries in Poland. We've got our missionaries in Mexico. We had them in Brazil. We've had them all, lots of places, Costa Rica. You name it. I personally thought we took on big enough chore taking on Mexico. I didn't think we had to pick out anything else. We had enough work to do in Mexico, but praise God for what's happened all over. And you know what these guys are doing? They're telling people words that describe their testimony, their experience of salvation, and what you can do, what you can have. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Do you ever get to feeling bad? I get to feeling bad sometimes when I pass people up. I think, shouldn't I have stopped with them? And then sometimes you give them a track and you think, well, maybe I should have done more than give them a track. Maybe you need to go to a friend's house. Is there someone, anyone that would receive your testimony where they might not receive anyone else's? Really simple. There are several plans of salvation. By that I mean teaching people how to be saved. One's called the Roman Road. It's a very easy one. I used it maybe more times than any other. Look at Romans 3:23 with me. I'm going to carry you through it. 3:23. I have these verses memorized. Look at Romans 3:23. Now just look at this word right here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that true? Is that true for you? Is it true for your friends? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now look at 6:23. That is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. What a whole lot in one little verse. What, just a few verses? You're a sinner. What are the wages of sin? It's death. Physical death, spiritual death, the second death, hell. But the gift of God. Look what it compares. The gift of God. A gift is not a work. It's not a reward. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's your answer. Christ died for you. And if he died for you, you don't have to die for yourself. If he died for you, your death is paid. This is salvation. It is a substitution. It is where Christ gives me his righteousness and he takes my sin. And I go to heaven not because I'm good, but because I'm saved. Look at chapter 10. So simple. The very last part of verse 8, chapter 10 of Romans, says the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did you notice the words that's used there? Any of you English teachers, any of you that know your English well, thou shalt be saved. Now that's the positive, that is the positive attitude. That is, those are positive words. Thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It doesn't say anything about working, does it? Oh, there's a lot of said in the New Testament about working. But it's not said about salvation. You're not working for salvation. This is a gift. This is something given to you. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth him shall not be ashamed. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think this scripture has taught you something. Your testimony is worth something. Amen. Your friendship is worth something. Your common knowledge is worth something. You can maybe get in a door that I would never get through. You may get into a door that Billy couldn't get through or Brian couldn't get through. Somebody else may go through doors you can't go through. But you have some special to you. I'm here. I'm saved. I'm still preaching. Not very well, but I'm still preaching. 61 years. Because a man who was very shy walked through my door and said, I just got saved. I don't know how to explain it all, but I got a guy that does. Would you allow me to bring him to your house? And I said, sure, come on. And that started it. And the first 5 nights after that, I read the first 5 books of the Bible. Next Sunday, I went to church. Then when it come time to go to church at night, Bob came over and Catherine came over. Y'all ready? Ready for what? Go to church. I said, man, we went this morning. Why should I want to go tonight? And I said, no, my wife's pregnant. She's just about ready to deliver. You know, she don't want to go. She said, I want to go. I want to get her slap her face, you know. We went up there and in an auditorium that held 500 people, and I'm sitting right back over yonder, about the second or last row, about as far back as I could get in my back. And that preacher tore me up. He ate my lunch. He had been plowing with my heifer. That's what Samson said. He hadn't plowed with my heifer. I thought he had to be talking to Verlene the way he was talking to me. God Almighty decided to pinpoint me and nail my hide to the wall and say, you're a sinner, boy, and you need to be saved. And I went home, and I'm singing old hymns, just out of memory. I'm singing old hymns in the bed. My wife loved to go to sleep. She just loved to go to sleep. She hated to be up after 9. She got up at 4:30, though, every morning. She said, if you're going to sing all night, would you please go in the front room? Yeah, okay. And I did what the Pentecostals call praying through. I looked at my little boy, and my daddy didn't cuss, and he didn't drink. He didn't run around on my mother. He wasn't a party guy. He was a family man and a good dad. And I said, if I cussed and drank and smoked, gambled, if I turned out in proportion to my dad, if my son turns out in proportion to me, what am I putting out on the earth? The devil himself. And I admitted I was a sinner and needed a Savior. And I began to pray. And I didn't know enough to just confess all my sin at one time. I just began in every one of them I could think of. I prayed for about 2.5 hours. I went and woke that preacher up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I told him, I got saved and I surrendered to preach. I'm going to preach the gospel from here on in, and I'm still preaching. You sure you're saved? You know, a lot of people that are not sure about their salvation. Turn to hymn number 257. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." I think that's what it is. That's what I meant it to be. Let's stand. If God has spoken to your heart about salvation, come down here and get on your face and take care of it with God. If God has spoken onto your heart about you need to be testifying, you need to be witnessing, you need to be using those words God has given you, then come on down here and ask God to forgive you and ask God to empower you and let you go out and use the words he's given you. It just might touch somebody's heart. Let's sing it. It is. It's sweet. Why don't you trust Him? Take Him at His word. Thus saith the Lord. Precious Jesus, has the Lord touched your heart at all? Respond to Him. It's sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the word that we had in our hands today. We thank You for the testimony.